Our scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse numbered 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes we enjoy hearing our name called out loud. You've been waiting 35 minutes. The children are getting restless. Your stomach is empty. And then you hear the hostess say, Vaughn, party of five. Vaughn, party of five. Your table is now ready. Or you're sitting in a studio audience. The lights are very, very bright. Applause fills the air. And then you hear the announcer say, Patrick Vaughn, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Price is Right. Sometimes we enjoy hearing our name called out loud. Sometimes we don't. You're sitting in class, Algebra 2. Mrs. Henry is teaching. And then the principal's voice booms out. Miss Henry? Yes. Is Patrick Vaughn in your classroom right now? Yes. Send him to my office. And yes, that did happen. Or you're in a waiting room, you're listening to elevator music, flipping through a 1993 issue of People magazine. The receptionist slowly pushes the window aside and says, Mr. Vaughn, the oral surgeon will see you now. Sometimes we hear and enjoy hearing our name called out loud, but sometimes we don't. What about your name today? Are you going to hear your name called out today? And if you do, are you going to be glad about it or not? Our scripture reading this morning gives us a clue. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is very, very warm and affectionate. It is the first church that he established on European soil, and his brothers and sisters in that Macedonian village occupy a very special place in his heart. In the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Throughout this letter, he refers to them as his beloved. In the first verse of chapter 4, he says, Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Paul loves this church. He loves these people. How then might we make sense of the next verse that comes? I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind. Names, names, names. Now keep in mind, Paul is not writing an email to these two women. He has written a letter to the congregation, and this letter would have been written, read out loud in its entirety on a Sunday morning in a gathering much like we have today. So imagine that you're in that Philippian congregation. You're sitting there. You're delighted to hear that Paul still claims you as his beloved. And your spirits begin to soar when he quotes from a very popular hymn of the day that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're so happy. You're filled with joy. And Paul is winding up. And once again, he refers to you as his beloved. And then suddenly you hear your name called out loud. Your name has been singled out. Euodia, Syntyche, be of the same mind. Sometimes we enjoy hearing our name called out, but sometimes we don't. We do not know the nature of their dispute. But evidently, these two women have had difficulty getting along with one another. They are both leaders in this congregation, struggling side by side with Paul in his work. Paul has heard about their difficulty, and in his letter, he takes this as an opportunity to offer some words of guidance. As Fred Craddock observed in his commentary on the text, Paul is reminding them that they are leaders and therefore are able by words or deeds to polarize the congregation, destroying the one soul, one mind, one body. To accept a leadership role is to accept responsibility beyond private preference. Paul is concerned about the relationship between these two women, of course, but even more so, he was concerned about the impact that their conflict might have on the health of the community of faith. Euodia, Syntyche, now cut it out. Now, we might be tempted at this point to believe that Paul is trying to embarrass these two women. Why else, for example, would you call out their names in public on a Sunday morning? But that's not quite true. He is calling them by name. He deeply loves them, and he knows that this is not the first time their names have ever been spoken in worship. Listen to verses 2 and 3 once more. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. When had their names been called out before? Do you remember? It took place right over here. The water is picked up. Euodia, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you this day and forevermore. Syntyche, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you this day and forevermore. Their names had been called out. Their names had been spoken. Their names had been celebrated in that same community of faith. And so when Paul speaks their names, he's not calling them out. He's calling them up. He's inviting them to live up to their baptismal identity as children of God who are called to love one another. Some of you might remember the television series Roots. There's a scene in which the slave traders are trying to break the spirit of a young black man, Kunta Kinte. He had been captured and brought from his African homeland to America. They have tied him to a tree, and with whips, they are attempting to beat into him his new slave identity. Your name is Toby! And he resists, and the whip falls on his back. Your name is Toby! And he resists, and once again, the whip falls on his back. And again, they yell out, your name is Toby! And he resists, and he resists, and he gets beaten again and again. And finally, the punishment is too severe. The young man hangs his head in defeat, and he speaks his slave name, Toby. My friends, there are many powers, movements in the world that threaten to break our spirit and whip away from us our baptismal identity. Maybe it's a conflict with a brother or sister, as is the case in this morning's scripture passage. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's the painful illness or the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's the pressure to conform to the ideals and morals of our society. Perhaps it's captivity. Paul, after all, is writing from a jail cell. Names, names, names. We hope and we pray that our lives would be long and meaningful and fulfilling, but we know, don't we? We know that our lives are also marked by pain and sorrow and struggle. We know all too well that the world can be cold and cruel. And we know that sometimes along the way, we will be tempted to forsake the name, the identity given to us in our baptisms when water dripped down our heads. We might be beaten into submission and to forgetting that we are children of God, called to love God and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I know of a small church near Philadelphia that once held a fundraiser to build a new wing in their building. They had a huge event in the fall, and part of this event in the fall included the people coming together and singing some of the old hymns, like Amazing Grace and His Eye is on the Sparrow and Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And they sang these songs, and then they sang Give Me That Old Time Religion. Do any of you remember that song? Can you sing it? It goes, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. And the way the song usually works out is that someone will call out the name of a biblical character. And so let's say Paul. And so let's sing it together. It was good enough for Paul. It was good enough for Paul. It was good enough for Paul. And it's good enough for me. Timothy, and they sang about Timothy. John, they sang about John. Sarah, Miriam, they sang about them. And then someone said, Bill. And they sang about Bill. So let's sing it together. It was good enough for Bill. It was good enough for Bill. It was good enough for Bill, and it's good enough for me.
Bing.
Bing. I think that's appropriate. It was good enough for being. It was good enough for being. It was good enough for being. And it's good enough for me. Whom else might we call out this morning? Who? Jim. Yes, it's good enough for Jim. 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 And it's good enough for me. But what you don't know is that Bill had been a longtime member of that congregation and had succumbed to an awful disease about 3 months earlier. And yet they think about Bill. And others, just as we did a moment ago, started calling out the names of other members of that church, both living and dead. And suddenly, it wasn't a fundraiser anymore. It wasn't just a singing of a song. It was a community that was celebrating its relationship with the God who loves them. It was a community that rejoiced in the good news that ours is the God who knows our name. Jesus puts it this way at the end of John's Gospel, the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. My friends, here at Bedford Presbyterian Church, we remember and we celebrate the good news that God knows our name, each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, for Bill and Bing and Jim and all the saints of Bedford, we praise your name. Thank you for your claim upon our lives. And thank you for the depths of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.